Good morning. This is Kemp Haar. You're listening to FloorDaily.net. This morning we have with us Alan Beaulieu, who's with the Institute of Trend Research. Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you doing today?
I'm great. Thanks for being with us. Actually, you and I met last fall. The National Association of Floor Covering Distributors, I think, had you as a speaker. And it was a very interesting topic. You're an economist, so you told us that you had foreseen what was going to happen with this economic situation a while back. So I thought it'd be good to get you on board with us here with our listeners and get you to tell us where you think we are now in this economic situation.
No problem. To your first comment, the leading indicators that we were watching that told us about this recession coming are the same leading indicators we're watching to tell us when this recession is going to be over. There's a set of leading indicators out there that work really well. We use them very heavily here at the Institute for Trend Research at the country level and also at the company level. The answer to your question, we think this recession has got a ways to run yet, and by that I mean it'll be Q4 2009 before we touch down. That's not to say that the rate of decline continues as it has in the last 3 to 6 months, but nevertheless, I would not look for what will be recognized as a recovery. All the excitement people are having, it's because beginning to hit something on the way down and slow the rate of decline, and we all want to see such good news and glimmers of hope is what they're called, but we have to remember that seeing the sun coming up is not the same as being warmed by the sun. There's a time frame that has to pass, and we're just beginning to see the first rays, but we're not at the morning yet.
Yeah, all right. So how are we going to know when this thing is starting to recover? What can you tell us? Can you share with us any of these indicators that you're watching?
Sure. Well, one way you can know, Kemp, is call me back.
Okay.
I can help you with that.
Okay.
The other thing is, there are some people out there who make fantastic leading indicators. The folks at ISM put out the Purchasing Managers Index. We turn into a rate of change, which makes it a great leading indicator. They're very good folks. They know their job and do it very well. Watch that one. The Conference Board's U.S. leading indicator is a great leading indicator. When that, we again use that as rate of change. When the rate of change turns positive on that, we know that there's a recovery coming. We also get the financials. We look at the industrials. We have our own that my brother developed in the 1980s. There's a list of 8 of them, and so the two that I specifically mentioned, you watch those, you'll get a good handle when there's a real recovery underway.
Mm-hmm. I sat in your audience and I listened to you talk, and there were some encouraging things that you told us. Obviously, you reminded us that while the U.S. only has a little less than 5% of the population, we have almost 25 or 26% of the global GDP. So, I mean, this will recover, right? Even though the government is spending money like a drunken sailor, we are going to pull out of this thing, right?
Yes. I believe it's not just a hope. I think that's a reality.
Yeah.
The government is spending massive amounts of money. We're worried about the inflationary impact down the road. We're worried about paying off the debt and the carrying costs on the debt. I mean, there's lots of reason to be worried. But fundamentally, underneath all that, the United States is a fantastic nation, well-positioned to compete globally. The UN believes we're the best position in the world for global competition. They say the best place to be is the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
U.S. labor is strong. I know we all get a picture of bloated payrolls, and as we think about GM and all the rest of that, we're forgotten that most of America is not GM. Most of America is hardworking, high productivity, paying their way and providing for profits. This is a great country with lots of legs left to it.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that makes us continue to grow is the fact that our birth rate is over 2%, right? Or is it 2.1 or whatever? Explain what you meant by that when you tell us.
Well, you're actually right. The fertility rate is 2.1, which makes us among the highest in the industrialized world. Australia is a skosh higher, and Mexico is a little higher, and Mexico counts as one of the wealthy nations of the world. We are fortunate to be having an expanding population, and if we have a judicious amount, as opposed to today's miserly amount of H-1B visas, the best and brightest of the world is what I'm talking about, invited into this country, Kemp, we would see growth in population and in productivity and in ideas and inventions and consumerism. It would be a real positive change. What is occurring now is positive. It could be made even more positive by telling the best and brightest of the world, we want you here in this country. Please come to America. Right now, we tend to make it difficult for people to move here.
Right. So a couple of the points that you made when I sat in your audience, as far as you pointed out that the stock market had peaked in July 7, 2008 and was way down. Obviously, we've seen just a little bit of recovery there. Are you thinking that that's just a little false recovery and there might be a little bit more settling out to do there? Or what's your call there?
Well, as you probably remember me telling everyone there, we don't forecast the stock market per se. Statistical
right.
probability is the column we should put that under. But for what it's worth, from where I sit, the stock market has more horizontal movement than anything to go through yet. We have some bad corporate earnings that we're going to have to go through, some more joblessness, ongoing soft consumer spending. I think there's enough bad news out there that we're certainly not going to see a rapid recovery to those Q3 2007 levels, that we're going to see some horizontal movement for a quarter or two, and then some upside movement, but not dramatic. I think that's probably the big takeaway, is that we don't see any dramatic recovery to Q3 2007 in the space of a year.
Mm-hmm.
That's way too optimistic. This is going to be a long, drawn-out affair.
Yeah. But one of the things you did point out, you said the government should stay out of this thing. The longer that they get into this thing, that the longer they're going to draw it out. And I've been watching the government get into it in a big way. So can you make any comments about that?
Sure. Our fear there is, well, it is twofold. One is that there's an incredible accumulation of power. We hope that's only temporary. But the economic fear is that all this money being pumped into the economy has an inflationary impact. And that inflationary impact hurts businesses and it hurts consumers, which makes job creation that much harder to come by. It also pushes down the value of the dollar, which makes it harder to sell treasuries, which we have to sell because we're a debtor nation.
Mm-hmm.
We find that between inflation and that treasury problem I just mentioned, that we expect interest rates to go up, which also hurts businesses and hurts individuals and slows down economic growth, that while we're trying to avoid some short-term pain, we may be signing on for some long-term sluggishness and milder growth than we would otherwise realize because of the cost and the future cost of what's going on. I just came across a quote from Thomas Jefferson from the early 1800s, and our former President Jefferson would certainly not approve of what's going on today. He would call this plundering posterity.
Oh, definitely.
He would not be a fan.
Yeah, and, you know, we had a dip in the early 80s, and Reagan had a solution that was completely opposite of what we're doing now. And there's no. And can you tell us, from your perspective, which one's the better one?
Well, we come from the Austrian school of economics, which means that, you're right, it's not a political decision. It's an economic decision. And that cutting taxes, which provides for more investment, which provides for more jobs, more growth, turns out to be much better for the government and for the country because it stimulates everything.
Mm-hmm.
If we transfer wealth from the private sector to the government, which is what higher taxes do, then you're taking a bucket from the deep end of the pool, pouring it into the shallow end of the pool, and expecting the whole level of the water in the pool to go up. It really doesn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And at the same time that President Reagan was cutting taxes, he was always conscious of inflation. He was conscious of interest rates and all the rest of that. But and I don't want this to come out the wrong way, but the man, especially if you read his diaries, he was very focused on what was good for people at the same time what was good for business. I'm not sure that the current environment we're in has that same view. We want what's good for people, but we may have forgotten that what's good for business is also what's very good for people. And if we're not careful, we're going to create an environment where more and more businesses are going to find it more beneficial to go offshore and to produce elsewhere and to be elsewhere where they don't face the same regulatory hurdles and burdens and problems.
Yeah. Well, you're talking to listeners in the flooring industry right now, and a lot of flooring is made in this country. There is a little bit of a movement right now back toward amongst consumers to prefer things that are made in the USA, aren't there?
There seems to be, and a Buy American policy, an official stance by the United States government of Buy American, or is not healthy. We don't want to start a trade war
yeah.
with any of our major trading partners. That would be something, the last thing we'd want to get into at this moment.
Easy for you to say, being a Frenchman, right?
Well, we are close to the Canadian border, and you know they're our cousins, so we don't want to get into a fight with the family. But, you know, certainly as individuals, we have that right to and that's basic capitalism, by the way, is that the consumer has the power to vote with with purchasing power. Mm-hmm. We can decide as consumers whether we want to support another nation or not by what we buy and who we buy from. And I think that's where the power should reside, with our decision, not with government intervention.
Yeah. Now, one last question, because we're about to run out of time. But, you know, there's a bunch of sectors out there in the marketplace. And, you know, there's the commercial sector, the residential sector, there's the replacement sector, there's the, you know, new home construction sector. You know, you say we won't even see the bottom until third or fourth quarter of 2009 and then start to see recovery. Do you think that we'll start to see maybe some early signs, maybe in certain sectors, or what do you think?
Well, I think in the home improvement, you're going to see it before you'll see it in housing. The sale of existing homes is going to turn before new housing. So as people move into new homes, there's always a tendency to do something with floor covering. That seems to be that's always worked in my life and in many people's. I have to assume that's pretty normal. And so I think, sure, some segments are going to see some improvement, which speaks to your listeners' marketing and advertising and how they're focusing. Home improvement construction and existing home sales are going to be areas that they need to watch, and they will lead through this trough.
Yeah. Okay. Well, one thing I definitely want to do is, I know you give these speeches, and somebody listening to this might want to talk to you in more in depth and maybe have you come talk to one of their groups. How do they get a hold of you, Alan?
Well, you can go to our website, www.ecotrends, ecotrends.org, mm-hmm. or call us at 603-226-9331 and ask for Debbie.
Or you can just type in your name. And by the way, your last name is spelled just like the third largest carpet maker in this country, Beaulieu, Alan Beaulieu. And so that's another way of getting a hold of you.
I've met the folks from that company. They're very nice folks.
Yeah, they are. All right, Alan, I appreciate you spending time with us. We've been talking to Alan Beaulieu, who is an economist, and he's with the Institute of Trend Research. And you've been listening to Kemp Haar and FloorDaily.net.